This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News Time, here on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing a new rule for landowners in the Prairie Pothole region. If landowners install drain tile near protected wetlands and follow the approved setback distances, the rule says they will not be punished if the wetland is drained by the system. In a statement, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said this change is designed to provide consistency, clarity, and transparency to landowners. A 60-day comment period begins after that proposal is published in the Federal Register later today.
Geopolitical issues continue to simmer in the background of the commodity markets. Advanced Trading commodity research analyst Brian Basting says be very aware of what's happening globally.
Have your antenna out, as it were, for world developments. We're looking now at a countdown of about 3 weeks until the latest Black Sea Grain Initiative with Russia allowing exports from Ukraine to expire. That's 18th of May, I believe, 18th or 19th. But regardless, about 3 weeks away, that'll be critical to see what happens there, because definitely that flow has pressured the market throughout this crop year.
And world crop condition also needs to be a focus.
Right now, the world crop conditions for wheat look very good. Places like Europe, Russia. It's early yet, again, end of April, but this winter wheat was planted last fall, looks in good condition among most growing areas around the world, the exception being down there in Kansas, and they got a good rain this week. It may be too late for some of that crop, but any rain would be welcome down that area. But besides that, it's been good reports worldwide. So obviously watching economic reports. GDP came out today a little weaker than expected, and the big news next week, of course, is the Fed meeting.
Demand remains a concern for U.S. commodities, with China canceling over a half million metric tons of corn purchases this week. Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossy does not expect many more old crop sales.
Pretty depressing there to see. Basically, you can probably assume that China's done buying old crop corn from the U.S., and they're going to wait and buy corn from Brazil when that harvest gets coming up here. And right now, looking like a rather large crop there, too, probably a record right along with their soybean record crop. So export demand for old crops is going to be pretty tough moving forward. A lot of trade analysts starting to pull back on their export demand, 20, 30 million bushels for the May USDA report.
Bossy thinks much of that lack of demand is already priced into the market.
Domestically, demand is still fairly good. Ethanol was a little disappointing this week, but going to be really tough for end users, elevators, merchants to buy any old crop corn out of the farmers' hands at these lower prices. So the basis is going to definitely have to do some heavy lifting. But funds are selling right now, selling with hard, big, large volume. And when they do that, we just got to get out of the way, because we don't know where it's going to stop at.
A bill designed to expand animal agriculture in North Dakota will be signed by Governor Doug Burgum this morning. Burgum will be joined by the bill's primary sponsor, Representative Paul Thomas of Velva. Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring will also be part of that ceremony.
North Dakota Governor Burgum has signed a major tax relief package. It includes $358 million in income tax relief and nearly $157 million in property tax relief. Burgum did not get the flat tax he sought at the beginning of the session, but the governor called this bill a huge win for North Dakota taxpayers.
Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association Interim President Jake Thompson says his members are not happy with the paid family leave proposal in the state legislature.
Of course, that health leave that's out there, 3 months of leave for personal use, 3 months of leave for taking care of another individual, letting them know that, at minimal, that needs to be an exemption for farmers on that, because there's so many people that have seasonal help that people would work less than the amount of time they'd get paid off for health leave. So different topics like that, I mean, it's definitely a challenging front there.
Cattlemen also keeping an eye on the proposed bills concerning wolves.
Some things are making sure we're getting, a lot of the same things on the national level, too. I mean, they could do an hour of service exemption on the state level. We've talked about that. We talked about how everybody feels on the state level. There's a few different bills out there, too, ban hunting and trapping of wolves, and then there's a few bills out there to also support hunting and trapping of wolves and making sure everybody knows where we stand on that within the state if it ever would get back to that point of having state control.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Rain showing up on the radar once again this morning. There's light showers that extend from just east of Huron right now to the northeast. All areas receiving rain at this hour range from Wahpeton, Fergus Falls, Glenwood, and Wilmer. More significant rains are in the Twin Cities to northwest Wisconsin. There's also a small area near Carrington receiving some showers this morning. Rainfall totals generally expected to be light. Gusty winds will be kicking in this weekend, upper 60s likely next week.
Planting season in the Northern Plains on hold, with farmers waiting for conditions to dry and soil temperatures to warm up. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
Sugar beets are some of the first crops to get in the ground. BASF Technical Service Representative Ken Dibert says sugar beet growers are itching to get in the field.
Still a little bit of snow hanging around in the trees and in the more shaded areas, but you know, and we've got some water in some areas, but not near as much as one would expect for this time of the year. And that tells me one of a couple things. But first off, I think we got the snow so early last fall that we really didn't freeze this ground up very, very hard. And that certainly allowed this water to move into the soil profile, which is great because we're going to start off the season. You know, we obviously captured a lot of this snow melt, and I think we'll start the season off right in terms of moisture levels, which would be great for the beginning of the season here.
Dibert is optimistic growers will start planting through the Red River Valley in the next few weeks.
It's hard to say. You know, it all depends on any, you know, future or present precip amounts that we might get. It's trying to sprinkle a little bit here today, but they're talking light amounts. But if we stay relatively dry and we get some heat, like it sounds like we're going to finally next week, get into the 60s, you know, in the next 2 to 3 weeks here for sure. But I would say within the next couple weeks, somebody somewhere in the vicinity will be trying something. But yeah, sugar beets, obviously one of the first crops that will go on the ground here for us in North Dakota, northern Minnesota, eastern North Dakota, that is. And so I expect some activity here in the next few weeks.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
According to the Drought Monitor, northern North Dakota and much of western Minnesota is dealing with abnormally dry conditions. That's an improvement over last week when north central North Dakota was still in moderate drought. Farmers and ranchers in southwestern North Dakota and much of South Dakota are still facing dry conditions. In the Great Plains, D3 and D4 drought conditions are being seen in central Nebraska and much of Kansas.
Barge traffic on the upper Mississippi is shut down for a matter of weeks. All locks and dams above Lock 17 will be closed for 3 weeks due to high water. That extends from St. Paul South to New Boston, Illinois. The closure will impact delivery of grain and soybeans for the export market and northern-bound barges filled with fertilizer.
The Union and the West Coast ports are both reporting significant progress in their labor negotiations. No other details were provided. The current round of negotiations has been underway for more than 10 months.
Finding labor is an issue for cooperatives across the country. National Council of Farmer Cooperatives CEO Chuck Connor says access to labor is top of mind for their organization.
The number one issue that we encounter as we travel and talk to co-ops and our farmer members out there is people are really having trouble getting the labor that they need to plant crops, to harvest crops, tend the livestock. It's just a big issue. And we have been trying to work with Congress to get legislation passed to make our foreign guest worker program more accessible to farmers and to co-ops and to ease, you know, some of this labor shortage out there. We came awfully close last year to getting legislation passed to solve the problem, but we didn't get the job done. So we're back at it again this year, working with Congress to try and see what is possible.
New rules have added to the challenge.
In the meantime, there's been new rules put out by the Biden administration that would not only not be helpful like we're seeking in the legislative process, but actually take us backward quite a bit. And this rule has gone final and put into effect on April 1st. And so you know, in addition to trying to fix the problem, we're trying to keep this rule from really taking us really backward in terms of higher costs, fewer farmers able to use the H-2A program to ease their, you know, labor needs. Labor's a real mess right now, and we're trying to solve as much of that as we possibly can.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A new rule takes effect June 11th that will require prescriptions for antibiotics used for livestock. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
The FDA-issued guidance for industry number 263 will require prescriptions for several medically important livestock antibiotics that were previously available over-the-counter. Elanco beef technical consultant Dr. Ron Tessman says this rule will ensure proper use under the guidance of a veterinarian.
And what the FDA is trying to do is make sure that all antibiotics that are fed to production animals, cattle, swine, poultry, just look at antibiotic usage, reduce unnecessary antibiotic usage, and to bring it under the guidance and consultation of a veterinarian. And it's really in the idea, in my opinion, to promote judicious use, but also sustainability, the ability for us to continue to use antibiotics.
Building a veterinarian-client-patient relationship will be key to making sure you have or can get what you need when you need it.
You may find that a number of the fleet stores or farm stores discontinue carrying some of these antibiotics that used to be over-the-counter and that now will be script. There are some differences state to state, but in general, it just means that you have to have that relationship. The veterinarian has to know you and your operation, has to have been out on your operation at least once during the year, and has a good understanding of what your needs are.
Tessman suggests using extension resources to find a veterinarian near you if you don't already have a working relationship with one in your area. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Checking those markets as we speak. July, Minneapolis wheat 3.5 higher at 788.5. September, 2.75 higher. Chicago wheat, July, unchanged right now. The hard red winter wheat, July, a gain of 2.5 cents. Corn a bit lower this morning, July 2.5 down, 579 the quote. New crop corn 1.75 lower. July soybeans 6.75 higher at 14.10.5. New crop soybeans a gain of 2.5 cents. As we check in on the farm calendar, Powered by Pork, a community event in Lisbon will take place 1 week from tomorrow, May 6th, at the Ransom County Expo Center. This being held in conjunction with the North Dakota Pork Council annual meeting. The U.S. Meat Export Federation is having their spring conference coming up, and it's going to be in the upper Midwest, May 24th through the 26th in Minneapolis. Again, taking a look at some of the big issues impacting the U.S. export trade. And the North Dakota Junior Red Angus Association planning for their annual field day, June 3rd and 4th. They'll be at Streeter, North Dakota. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.